First reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, it's good to see a lot of people here. Welcome. And welcome those online as well. Thank you. A word for Mark. Mark's doing a good job today, and the only one in production. So good for him. He's doing everything. So thank you. And a Happy New Year to everyone, if I haven't wished you a Happy New Year already. Now, I just want to show you a picture which you have seen before, I expect. Here it comes. Yes, I don't want to raise any difficulties about, it may be painful for some, but stay with it. You remember that symbol that they used for the Qatar World Cup? There's a huge amount of symbolism in there. You don't know when anyone has ever explained any of it to you, but that it's in the shape of a number 8. And they built 8 stadiums before, there weren't any in Qatar, and they built all 8 new. It's also in the shape of a infinity sign. Whether that's ever occurred to you, I don't know, but that's what it is as well. And the patterns on there represent local embroidery. There's a history of that going back a very long way. So I'm not going to go any further. But I thought, as it was New Year, we'd do something a bit different. And I've got here some strips of paper, and we're going to make our own band rather like that. So basically, what it is a band that you glue together, and I'm going to glue this together. Bear with it. Might get the top off. So that goes there. And we just put that like that, and you have a strip of paper. Right, okay. So far, so good. And then, does it look a bit like the World Cup symbol? Not much, but that a number 8 or an infinity symbol, whichever way you look at it. Now, just bear with me again. What we're going to do is cut it right up the middle and see what happens. More interesting things come later, but here we are. Well, cut it up the middle, and as you'd expect, probably, what you get is... Hold on, it's not that long. What you get is 2 loops. So far, as expected. Right. And we're going to do it again, but this time, with a twist, literally. So put the glue on. Make sure it's enough. Make another loop, but instead of just doing it in a normal way, you're going to put a twist in it. Just twist once. So it's like that. Now that's not quite as it was before, but... And then, when you cut it up the middle, which I'll do again, what do you think will happen? I'm not going to come around and ask you, but cut it up the middle, and do you get two loops? Oh, now that's not very good. That shouldn't have happened. Come to bits. Right, keep going. Cut it up the middle. And what do you think you get? One loop. Well, I hope for some of you that was a surprise, because that's the theme of our talk this morning, is surprises. Do you remember the shepherds we heard in our reading? They wouldn't have expected an angel to come and start talking. That would have been a huge surprise to them, wouldn't it? And they were so shocked that they left the sheep where they were. Now, shepherds would never do that. They'd never just leave, you know, everybody go. And they said, let's go to Bethlehem and pursue this. Let's find out what's been going on. And when they had seen the Christ child, they then went off and told everybody what had happened. And what do we read? All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. So there's a bit of amazement already. This band is called a Mobius Strip, invented a very long time ago. But the interesting thing is it only has one surface. If you go round, you go round on the same side and you end up where you started and you've been on both sides. It's a rather odd thing, but the mathematicians among you will know all about them, I expect. I'm going to make one more and do something slightly different again. Put a bit more glue on this time so it stays put. So we do our bring them together, but again, do a twist. And this time, and you have to guess what happens here, I'm going to cut not up the middle, but one third of the way in, one third of the width. So that goes about there. And there's quite a lot of cutting to do here, so I'm going to say talk among yourselves, but that's not such a good idea. It goes on and on and on. Are you guessing what it might be? What is it going to be? One loop again? Nearly there. Now, what's going to happen when I do the final cut? Stay there. Ooh. One loop and another loop. Who'd have thought it? I hope that also came as something of a surprise, because again, that's what we're thinking about today. Do you remember Mary, who was visited by an angel? She certainly was terrified, I would have thought, rather than surprised, but when this great angel Gabriel turned up unexpectedly, she managed to control herself, and that was all right in the end. Do you remember Joseph? Now, Joseph had three visitations from angels. First of all, to tell him, yes, you should marry Mary. Don't divorce her. Don't put her away, as it were. And then secondly, he had another angel come to him to say, you now have to flee to Egypt. You know, you've got to get out of here. And thirdly, he had a visitation when they'd been in Egypt and Herod had died, and the angel came and said, it's now safe to go back to Israel. So, and I don't think it got any less surprising every time the angel turned up, I shouldn't think. So let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a long way and see what the Jews were actually expecting from God. Now, the Old Testament is, as we know, is chock-a-block with hints and clues about a coming Messiah, if you look in the right place. And yet what happened amazed or surprised them. Many of the Jews couldn't understand when Jesus came. This can't be him. You know, they didn't believe it. Because you see, Israel was once top dog. They really were the people of all people. Under King David, they'd conquered all the other peoples. They'd inherited, they'd occupied the land, they'd and gone there and lived in peace for quite some time, having got there. And they were, you know, the bee's knees. They were the top. But then things went downhill. They disobeyed God. They did all the wrong things. They worshipped other gods. And until, well, things couldn't really get much worse, could they? They'd done all this. And they ended up first in exile and then under Roman occupation. So they were both repressed and, I've no doubt, depressed as well. Now, lots of prophets had been saying that there would be a bright future for Israel, but nobody ever said when. Then, after all these prophets had said this is going to happen, they all sort of stopped. There weren't any prophets for about 300 or 400 years. Nothing was said. It's as if God had gone silent, which indeed he had. Now, a few Jews kept the faith alive. They knew that this was coming and they were still looking forward to it. Someone who would get them out of this sorry mess, being under the Roman thumb. But what they envisaged, I think, was a warrior king. They wanted someone who was going to ride in the style of David with force and show these Romans who really was the boss around here. And this new king would be powerful and he'd turf out all the Romans, and then the Israelites would be back at the top of the tree again. They'd be top dog once more. Of course, had they read the right scriptures and the relevant prophets, they might have come to a different conclusion. Zechariah says, your king is coming, riding on a donkey, not on a white charger, not on a horse, but on a donkey. So he didn't come in war, he was coming in peace. And that was the message that Zechariah had. Isaiah said, to us, a child is born. And those of you who know Handel's Messiah will know the rest of Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, and all the rest. But this was going to be a child was going to be the Messiah. So it shouldn't perhaps have come as a surprise to the Jew who knew their Old Testament well, but it did somehow. And most of them were not ready for baby Jesus. Now suppose, for a moment, suppose you were an entomologist. That means someone who studies bugs and insects and all that stuff. And suppose you heard that there was going to be a cataclysmic event in the world that would wipe out all ants forever. Well, you'd want to save them, wouldn't you? You'd want to do something about it. These ants, you know, they're lovely creatures. You don't want to get rid of them all. So this catastrophic thing that's going to happen, we're going to have to do something about it to save them from this impending disaster. So just bear with me a minute and suspend your disbelief. Suppose you could actually turn yourself into an ant and go and live among them to help them develop new strategies and to prepare for what was going to happen. Then you'd know about all that they did, all how they worked, and you could communicate with them. So that would be the best way, wouldn't it, of doing something about helping them to avoid disaster. Well, okay, you say that's impossible. But isn't that what God actually did? He became, from his place on high, above us in so many ways, he came to be one of us. He came to be a human being, to be one of us. Now, we are so familiar with the Christmas story, we don't see how surprising it really is. I don't know how many Christmases you have seen and heard and been through, and how many Christmas plays and nativities you've been to at schools and all the rest of it. This has become embedded in our brain, this whole story. But it is a very surprising story from start to finish, really. One which really only God could have achieved. Can I invite you on New Year's Day to make a New Year resolution to reread the Christmas story as recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke? Just means two chapters of Matthew and two chapters of Luke. Read through them. It'll only take about half an hour. Just marvel again at the simplicity and yet the complexity of this Christmas story and how it weaves together and the narrative with so many threads. Read it slowly. Perhaps read it in a version you don't usually read, a new version, another version, to bring it to life. I might be asking you next week if you manage to do it, so beware. So, and you might even be surprised by what you read, and God might surprise you too. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Christmas story with which we are so familiar, and yet there are so many twists and turns in it that only you could have achieved. Thank you for the story of Jesus becoming a baby, living among us, showing us how to do things, and then, of all things, dying for us, dying in our place when we were headed for disaster. Thank you that you saved us. Help us to reread this story with new eyes and understand more of your huge plan and purpose behind it. And fit us and prepare us and empower us for this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.